Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
All right, it's time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. We do it every day at 4 o'clock, but, you know, when the Mariners play, times change. But he's still with us. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Good to have you with us, John. As far as the big news out there today, what's really caught your eye?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of big stuff coming on, but again, what you're saying, because again, everybody not... there's so much is going on in Indianapolis because 150 prospects, you know, went in there for medical double checks, which of course is much less than the 350, 360 that normally get checked in February. So they're trying to play a little bit of catch up there. Certainly, you know, things have been slow in free agency because most of the deals have been minimum salary. And by the way, did you see the Quentin Dunbar contract?
No.
Minimum salary. He
really?
He got a 990 base, 137.5 on the signing bonus, so he gets 11275. It counts 987.5 against the cap, and he goes to Detroit, a team that's going to be destined for doom this year.
Wow. And so the Seahawks couldn't come up with that.
Or didn't want to.
Or didn't want to. Or,
that's what I mean.
He either didn't want to come back or they didn't want to sign him. And it makes you wonder, were they a little bit more concerned about the knee injury? Because that could be too, and they didn't want to take the chance. Because you know you can almost guarantee that there'll be a signing at cornerback, and it's going to be minimum salary. You know, I don't know if that's going to be Rashard Breeland, Casey Hayward. You know, Steve Nelson could be a candidate who was cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there are guys out there that could at least be available. But in the end, you kind of wonder Dunbar getting the minimum salary. And of course, the one thing that was kind of interesting in the last 24 hours, just about all the contracts that have involved Seahawks have all come out. Like, for example, remember how we talked about where the reporters were out there saying that it was a Al Woods got 1 year, $3 million?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He got 1 year, 2.5.
Okay.
Okay. And then, of course, remember how it was with Kerry Hyder? Kerry Hyder, they said initially 3 years, $16.5 million. Well, it turned out to be 2 years at $6.5 million. Hmm. And so that's $2 million a year less.
Is that a voidable year on the end of that?
Well, if I remember right, I think there might be some voids, but you know, but again, it's a two-year contract, so you can still get a compensatory pick if he leaves. But yeah, 2 years, 6.5, and then you know, and everybody was reporting initially there was going to be $8.8 million on Carlos Dunlap, and it turns out to be, you know, $6.8 million, not 8.8. So again, that's one. The numbers come out, and everybody says, wow, look what they paid him. It's like, just calm down for a couple of days so the numbers really come out.
Yeah. Hey, John, you mentioned something about Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. I wasn't aware of that. So instead of a combine, they're still doing, did you say physicals?
No, what they do each year is that you go to Indianapolis, and the most important thing, even more than the running, is basically getting physicals, right? Because that's why Indy's such a good place, because everything is close. Everything is there. They've been doing it for decades. And so it's like, it's such a nice fit, all right? But there was no Indy combine this year. And so normally at this time, couple weeks before the draft, they have guys come back for double checks, you know, guys that had surgery. And you know, like, remember when John Ross had his injury? I mean, he had to go back for a double check. You know, they wanted Trevor Lawrence to go back, but you know, he didn't go back, you know, coming off his surgery. But in the end, so 150. But again, normally you're going to have physicals on 360 players at the combine. So this year you're only having 150. All the others are going to be reliant on, you know, the team doctors for colleges to give you a report. And so you may not be able to get the most accurate information, because again, there's more detail. Because what happens when you go to Indy, and Dave, you know this, it's like, hey, if they want to give you six MRIs on six different areas, they can do it.
Yeah.
And you know, because you have 32 team doctors saying, hey, let's check this out. I didn't know about this history. Let's check this out. And so, you know, now it's a matter of kind of a rush job with 150 going through.
Well, this is me making an excuse, but yeah, one of the things that happened, one of the reasons why I didn't run a good 40, every doctor in the league yanked on my knee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
a little sore.
Another interesting occurrence was I went to check into my room, and I opened it, the key, and sitting on the bed, and it was just one bed in the room, was Bruce Armstrong.
Ooh.
Remember Bruce?
Oh, yeah.
And he was half naked, and he looks up at me like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I think there's been a mistake.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You remember that guy? He's one of the all-time best. I think he ended up being the 23rd pick in the draft that year. But, yeah, so that's still going on. That's good. I mean, that, you know, because I talk about it being more of a crapshoot than ever. You're just not able to be around these guys. And what about the interviews? I mean, they're doing them over Zoom, John.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it's still just so much better to be there in person. Like, you know, the thing with DK Metcalf, where he takes his shirt off and everything. You just don't get those kinds of moments.
No, exactly. And that's why it's going to be a tougher draft. And then, you know, when you really look at it, I was counting them up yesterday when I was starting to do my – I'm right now in the process of doing my third mock draft. I'll do that for the Washington Post on Monday. But it's like, you know, there's like eight first-rounders that were opt-outs. About eight, and it could be nine, depending on how the lower part of the first round goes. But that includes the two best offensive tackles. You know, Penny Sewell missed the season. He opted out. And then the next best guy, he opted out. And, you know, the top receiver, Lamar Chase, he opted out. So you have all these guys. I mean, there's probably going to be four or five in the top 12 or 13 that didn't play football last year.
Wow. So based on all of that, do you think there's a chance the Seahawks do just go with three picks, being as it's very uncertain, you can't evaluate the way you normally would, and we all assume they're going to make trades and accumulate more picks, which I still believe, but I guess if there were a year where John might be content to say, nah, we're good with what we've got, this might be it.
Well, the one switch in all this is that you know, next year's draft is going to be much more valuable, right? And so what you're going to have is that you're going to have teams, particularly when you get to the fourth round, fifth round, and you know, at certain positions like defensive tackle, maybe safety, you know, certainly maybe tight end, you're going to have guys that you're in the fifth round and you're looking at those positions, and they're going to have undraftable grades because, again, it's such a short year coming out from college, and, of course, it's such a short year on defense. I mean, to a point where, you know, you may have 17 or 8. Well, no, you may have 20, 22 guys go in the first round on offense and only 13 guys or so go on defense. I mean, it's remarkable. Like, for example, when I've done some of these, I had four edge rushers going in the first round. I had one defensive tackle. I had one safety, and that was at the very bottom of the round because I felt sorry that, you know, the best safety in the draft wasn't going to be in there. Then, you know, you had, you know, maybe three linebackers, four or five cornerbacks. I mean, it's just brutal.
Boy, you know, the Patriots, John, I'm looking at their 2021 draft choices. I mean, they did a ton of moves in free agency. They have the first number 15 in the first round, number 15 in the second round. They've got a total of 9. I'm sorry, 10.
10, yeah.
10 draft choices. I mean, this...
Well, that's because we've got compensatory picks.
Yeah.
I know they have two third-round compensatory picks, and I think a fourth-round compensatory pick. And the weird part is...
They do, yeah.
They picked up a fourth-round compensatory pick for Kyle Van Noy, who got over $11 million a year to go to Miami, and then Miami cuts Van Noy, and guess where he goes back to? New England. So they get the compensatory pick and Van Noy.
Yeah, amazing. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, we talked about Brady winning the divorce over Bill Belichick. But, I mean, in a couple of years, well, and maybe even right away, just depending on quarterback for them. You know, a quarterback is a huge deal. But, I mean, you know, you look over the next couple of years, this should be a good team. If he's able to develop all these guys and make some good draft choices, I'd say watch out for New England.
Yeah, but also he hasn't drafted well. I mean, because you have to go back and the last Pro Bowl player that he took on the Patriots in the draft was Jamie Collins, and that was like 2013. He's been horrible at wide receiver. I know that with Nick Caserio gone, they've changed the way that they're scouting, changed the way that they're doing things, and even Bob Kraft 2 weeks ago said that we haven't drafted really well, so it's like it's one where they've got to pick it up because these drafts are important. It's nice to be able to have the free agency room this year to load up the team and do the best they can, but because at least as bad as they were at tight end, because remember they drafted two tight ends in the third round last year, two, and what did they do this year? They brought in two tight ends being paid $12.5 million a year. So what's that say about those tight ends? Not much. I mean, really, the best tight end that they've had in the last, say, 3 years is Jacob Hollister.
Hey, John, good stuff. We will we'll talk tomorrow at our normal time.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com.